Welcome back into another episode of Indie B&B. Today, we are joined by Brett Fitzpatrick out of Houston with the band Win in May. It's not as hot in right now in Houston as it would be in May, but Brett, how are we doing today, man?
Doing great. I mean, like you said, it's not a million degrees outside, so I really can't complain too much.
I love it. I love it. Well, I mean, you come to us from the Texas scene. I mean, I guess, you know, we always like to start, you know, how did this project come to be? Are you, you know, a child of a music school? Are you, you know, came off the street, you know, street taught? Where, you know, where'd all this music stuff start for you, Brett?
I guess for me, like, I do have a sports background, and you know, that's just something that if you're hurt or in the gym working out, music was always kind of like there as like an outsource, positive outsource, you know. And then, you know, around when I was 17, I started getting into like, hey, why do I like certain songs? And then when we formed Win in May about, you know, a little over a year ago now, when we'd announced the project, I've already been a part of several different projects and you know, meeting a bunch of great people that know how to jam. And so now I'm here.
It's funny you mentioned the kind of the sports aspect of like basically people don't realize the weight room folks and people who are sitting in those weight rooms every day are listening to probably more music than any other person that's just a, you know, regular Joe. You know, they have more time, they're listening to music in their car, they're sitting in the weight room all day listening to music. So, you know, what was it about the, you know, kind of those experiences that kind of you know, shot you into wanting to make music?
I mean, like, for instance, like, I really wasn't somebody that grew up heavily on the internet. So I missed out on some internet fads and bands at the time. And I would just listen to whatever was good. So I never really got the cultural side of why certain bands were so big or so popular or so hated by other people, right? So I would just listen to everything. Like, I didn't have to listen to hard rock when I'm picking up weights or anything like that. I'll listen to jazz or reggae or R&B while running, you know, just whatever sounded good that I could imagine myself being in a movie in and just kind of distract myself from, because let's face it, nobody likes cardio. I don't know who is a sociopath who likes cardio. I personally don't. So, you know, I would just want to get lost in my own thoughts as I'm just trying to get through 30 minutes of cardio.
Yeah, I got it. I definitely identify with that, and any by any means necessary, the distraction is welcomed, for sure. Well, I mean, get into this project. Like, you know, did you start out with, you know, multiple writers? Did you start just, you know, kind of toying around on a guitar? Like, what were kind of the impetus, you know, of getting into Win in May?
For Win in May, I mean, I had met a lot of people just through other projects and being in the scene, and Keon, who's our main producer, he reached out to me and just wanted to see who I was, wanted to make some great music. And at first, it just started out with two people. And then as we started gaining popularity, we came up with a name, we came up with a logo, people really liked it. We started working with a lot of different composers, different guitarists, bass players, drummers, you know. We never really had a set lineup of people that we wanted to also buy into this, and which kind of helps with our sound and can always make our song sound different. While me and Keon are the two main writers of this, that way it still sounds like a Win in May track while we have different players. And like the people we have currently that help us with our shows and when we go on the road, even though they're not writers, they treat the songs as if it was their own. And you know, now it's, you know, we're up to around 10 to 15 for the total EP right now, and we're just, if people have good ideas, we want to incorporate it the best we can.
Nice. So like, what's the so do you guys have kind of a lockdown writing process, or like, you know, what does it look like to create for you guys?
So a lot of times, I guess with a lot of musicians now, there's so much out there, and we'll want to go in. Sometimes we have the lyrics first, sometimes we have a melody, sometimes we don't. We'll have maybe a collection of songs that we really love that are in the genre that are very similar. And then we'll also have a collection of songs that are in the same genre, but we don't like at all. And we will sit down, drive ourselves crazy, listening to like maybe these 10 or 15 songs. Why do we like it? What is it that they're doing that this artist did? And just trying to put our own spin on it. We don't go in with a dartboard. Sometimes you can just be like, oh, this song sounds super similar. And it's like, ah, oh, what if we did that? And then we'll just try to gear the process. And, you know, we want to be able to make an original product, obviously. If we can't do that, we don't really follow through with it. You know, they're like, this upcoming EP is only five songs. You know, we think that's a great introduction, because we would really focus on quality in the writing rather than just let's put out a bunch of demos and hope people bite and then see what goes from there. We just want to act like we've been here already, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of your EP, you mentioned five songs. We've got a couple, you have a couple out right now. One of the ones that you've just recently released after the breakup, you guys are, surging with that one with, over 11,000 streams so far. Like for that one in particular, we want to put the song spotlight on it. Like, what was that impetus from where that song came from nothing to something? How did we, how'd you guys create that? What did it look like? Give us the details there.
I mean, I guess that song is very therapeutic for me. It's not about just one singular girl or anything like that. It's like a collection. It's a total synopsis of the Fitzpatrick dating catalog, right? Just random bits and pieces. I had the melody kind of in my mind, and I didn't know if I wanted to have regular acoustic drums or if we wanted to have it be more trappy, as what some people have, you know, gave us reviews on. But some people have said it's a rap, and to me, no, it's just R&B with a good flow. That's just it. You know, we've had some blogs say it's emo rap or anything like that. It's like, no, like this is just R&B. So we had the beat, and then I was coming up with the melody, and it's like I didn't want the song to be super rhymey because it does fall more into kind of rapping. And then we had our guitarist Matthias Lugwood. He's over in Norway right now. And he put his take, and you know, he absolutely killed it on the guitar. And I mean, honestly, like that, what he made the track come to life. I'm not even gonna take credit for it, but he made it come to life and made it just light years ahead of what it could have been.
So it sounds like you guys have, I mean, a fair like process of like you're gonna come up with lyrics and come up with the general like overall baseline of it, and then you have your folks that are obviously in your sphere kind of bring in their take on. Do you send that stuff to them and then he comes back with the guitar, or is like what's the process there?
So we will always kind of have a rough idea of where we want him to play, or anyone, for example, like, you know, as I do play, I am nowhere near as talented as some other people that have dedicated their whole life to it. So I'll definitely have the chords, BPM and progression already written out and tell him like, here's your box. And if we have a guitar demo already made, like earlier today, we're already working towards other songs, and I've already had older demos that I had made. I'm like, hey, I know you're better than me. Please add your twist on it. And that really helps us not be just a pop star trying to make it all their one way. It's like, you know, this is a band. Whether the band that I play with writes it or not, it still has that band feel. And that's something I've always wanted. I don't want to be a pop star. I want to be the pretentious lead singer for a reason. So.
I like it. I like it. You have a vision in that, how you want to write things and going through that. So, I mean, when what inspired, obviously you mentioned a bunch of different breakups and different, the full catalog, like anything in particular on that, in that front that really like was like, all right, like this inspired this lyric specifically, or, just overall, just like, hey, like I'm going to look at my dating life and I'm going to think about, how it makes me feel, and I'm going to come up with a song about it. Like, what was the, the kind of the question you asked yourself to get to that point?
Yeah, no. So with this like song, it was very much just being a little bit older and realizing what I do is also not good. Takes two to break up, takes two to make up, takes two for everything, right? So it's definitely taking accountability, and like I'll definitely say, with social media being as horribly toxic as it can be, you can stalk somebody without even leaving your house, right? So it's very much like internet stalking when I say I still see you in that dress. Used to wear with me, and I'm comparing pictures. I'm like, oh, that's the same one, or making sure the photos are still up. And I guess like I can say it's me realizing how silly it is, this whole like thing with social media and how people really look far too far into it. And it's just me kind of just trying to grow up a little bit. I mean, I know I have a lot more to go, and maybe in 10 years I'll still be trying to grow up. So it's just me just trying to take ownership of my own actions while, because I'm not really romanticizing the breakup. I am saying how horribly off I am and like, oh, I'm the one who messed it up. I'm the one who did this. So it's just kind of just taking ownership.
That's good. I like that. I mean, I think that that's a, a admirable place to be, coming from as far as just like, hey, like I need to, examine myself and figure out where I messed up, as well as, a lot of the breakup songs you hear today are more on the other side, where it's like, hey, I'm getting hosed, you're screwing me, and that's it, So I think that's a good take to kind of bring to the table. So, for you guys, kind of transitioned over to some live music, like what are some of the things that you guys take from your writing sessions? Like, when you're thinking about, all right, hey, here's what we're gonna do for a live set. Like, do you think about how, like when you're writing the songs, like, all right, like, how are we gonna do this live? Or are we, is it more of like a, all right, we're gonna write it, put it out, and then when we get to the live point, it's gonna be like, hey, this is gonna be an even different version of how we did it. Like, what's the, I guess, the transition from writing room to live set or concert?
Yeah, our live shows are definitely we treat the music and streaming as an invitation of why you should come see us, and we want to put on a full show. So like, yeah, we're always just like trying our best, like what will sound better live. Whether that's tweaking a solo or swapping on an instrument, or we have a song that's going to be on the EP. It's called By Your Side, that has a lot of different atmospheric sounds with piano, strings, harp, and just other textural things like slide guitar. And the main focuses are acoustic. So like we're going to do stripped down versions of songs and stuff like that. It kind of just depends on the night and the venue as well. Because our show just isn't just like, four or five guys up on stage playing their instruments. It's a stage play. It's like a cafe by day, bar by night, speakeasy schemes. You can see some of the furniture that's up on stage around me right now. And if you see like on the band's Instagram and stuff like that, you'll see a little bit of the bar and the chairs and the books and everything that just makes it kind of the stage play aspect. And we have a lot of fan interaction. So when people come, we want to do something different. We may be stuck smack dab middle between the greatest band to ever live and what's going to be the greatest band to ever live, right? That's already going to be hard to compete. And when you're in a genre, in several different genres, there's only so much you can do to sound different. So we want to give you a visual thing you can also grab onto. And when we tell people, hey, we need a volunteer on stage, and you'll see in our last couple shows, we started incorporating that a little bit more. And our very last show that we just did, we had six or seven people already knowing the concept and bought bouquets and just throwing it on stage. And, for me, that fueled my ego. I mean, my head, I'm surprised fits in the screen right now. But, when we have the flowers and we have the fan interaction and we're able to just make you buy in. And then eventually, like, we have it breaks down, right? And then we just do the regular rock show. Like, we play the rest of our songs. Thank everyone for coming out. And, we even have like a fake fight on stage between the band, right? Because it's like I'm messing with everything, or like I don't know what's really going on. And we've had to let some of the sound engineers know, because they'll come up on stage like, hey, what's going on, please, like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, no, like,
Part of
sorry,
the deal.
it's a bit, don't tell anybody. But it immediately gets people's attention. And in the indie scene, you don't know like who the next group is going to be on. You can't take that personally. But if you hear people fighting and you're in the bathroom or taking a smoke break, you might want to see what's going on a little bit more. And that's just a way for us to keep the crowd's attention.
I like that. So, I mean, I got to know, some of these, fan interactions, like it can't be like, you guys have to be able to improvise and kind of, roll with the punches there. Like, have there any been really challenging folks that have come up on there, or any volunteers that are like, man, I wish that guy would have not volunteered?
Yeah, so I can't say we've had difficult interactions, but we are prepared. Our first couple, so one of our bits, like Cheap Red Wine after the breakup, I have the wine bottle, right? I'm drinking on stage, right? That falling into the bar concept. And my synth player, he'll rip the bottle from me. We actually had a group of girls that kept going up to the bar and kept buying me drinks and leaving them at my feet. And I wasn't realizing. So eventually, like, they almost stepped on stage. I'm like, oh, perfect time, actually. And I'm like, well, and then I turn over. I'm like, where did all this come from? And then our very last show, which is our latest Instagram post, I ran off stage because I knew who I was going to have. Like, I saw them. I'm like, oh, they already bought merch. They've already been telling their friends to listen to us. I was over here. And I'm like, you are going to be perfect. And then we have another show coming up. Not sure when this is releasing, but on the 27th of March, we're having another show. And it's a midweek show, so we're not sure who's going to be there. But we know we have our diehards there that haven't gotten their chance. So our goal is to try to bring them out, or everyone that's up there is an entertainer. We might just bring another band up on. It's like, hey, I'm bringing you. Like, you're doing double duty tonight, so.
Interesting. So it's like you got to be on your toes when you're at a Win in May show. I mean, it's you better be
Yeah.
ready for some participation. You better be anticipating some drama on the stage. I mean, I like that. I think there's something to be said about like if you're in between the do you two. I like the way you put that in between the two greatest bands ever. It's like there's something that's got to grab you and hold you, and be able to like you're gonna be the one thing that people remember, no matter what they saw. It's like. Dude, but what about that band who had like the whole red wine thing and like they were
Yeah.
fighting on stage? Like, I mean, what are we talking about there? I love that. I love that. Well, I mean, obviously you've had some time to like think through the bits. I mean, and like and get into the have it be a full kind of performance. Like, how long did that take you guys? Like, how many shows before you felt like, all right, it's where we want it to be. What was the refinement process? Do y'all practice the bits with each other and then go on, or is it
Yeah.
kind of just full
So
out?
what's really great is we're just now starting to take over the scene, and we're still adding on. We're buying new furniture. Things are going to break. It's just going to happen. You're going to have to replace it. You might find something better. Because we'll go to little, knickknack shops and little like furniture stores that are like consignment based. You'll find like the weirdest, obscurest stuff. With the band, we're always kind of improvising. Like, we haven't had a show start the same. We haven't had it end the same. And that's what's great. Like, everything's going to hit the fan at some point, or it's going to be the most perfect thing. We're still tinkering with it, and that's what we tell people. It's like, you're not going to get the same show twice. As much as we would love to be able to emulate some things, you just can't, right? That's not practical to think about, right? So, we do try to practice, we do try to rehearse, because when you're in a room and you have like one person monitoring, like, oh yeah, just making sure that we look and we're on time. It's awkward. It's so incredibly awkward. You feel like, man, what am I doing? And then when you get up on stage and you have, 50, 75, 100 people that are just there watching you, it's like, oh, it's kind of easy, Like, I don't know why it feels that way, when we're just playing instruments and stuff like that. But then when we're trying to do everything else, like my synth player, Seth, he'd felt very awkward his first time doing it. And then our next show, he's just like, yeah, it's whatever now. It's like, hey,
Part
it
of the
feels
deal.
better. And dialogue's gonna change. How we fight's gonna change. We try to keep it on toes, because we're all three of us are jokesters, right? So we're gonna say something that's gonna we want to try to make the other guy crack, and that's gonna in turn make the crowd laugh a little bit, right? Like, we're not a comedy act by any means, but we definitely want to break the tension so you don't know it's real, right? We want you to know that we're saying these absurd insults to each other that are not real. It's nothing like, oh, That way, you have some sort of kayfabe to kind of buy into.
I love that. I love that. Well, I'm excited for the tour dates, coming up. You mentioned some before we got on here that you've got, Lot in Dallas, coming through to the area in Florida and in San Antonio and some other places. So, I mean, they can check those out on y'all's Instagram, I'm sure, at Win in May, at Win in May underscore band, correct?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, transitioning out to the back half of our show here at Pete Peterson's party pack of questions, I'm already excited for Brett, your answers on these ones. This will be good, but We'll start quickly. We'll go through. It's rapid fire, so it's a this or that. If you want to have a little bit of a little bit of reasoning behind it, you can definitely do that as well. But we'll fire them off right here. All right, Pete Peterson's Party Pack questions. Question number one. Here we go. Cake or pie? What are you preferring?
Cake.
He's a cake guy. All right, let's go. Salad or soup?
I'm a salad dodger, so soup.
All right, all right. Keeping it, even though it's hot in Houston, he's eating soup. Love it. Sunrise or sunset? What are you seeing more of these days?
Sunset for sure.
All right, beautiful, beautiful. Would you rather hit a home run or score a touchdown?
I have hit a home run. I have not done a touchdown. I've not had that ability yet. So touchdown, that's on my bucket list.
I love it. I love it. All right. Nights in or nights out? What are you having more of these days?
But definitely, I'm having more nights out just because of the career path, but I'm definitely kind of a homebody, so nights in.
Nights in. All right. All right. And when you do go out though, and you get a little get a little excited and
A bit of the bubbly.
your jam comes on, are you more likely to do the robot or the worm on the dance
Oh,
floor?
definitely the worm. Definitely the worm.
All
This
right. The
jacket tie is
showman.
coming off. I'm going.
Showman. I love it. I love it. All right. When you hit your favorite Tex-Mex spot in there in Houston, there's many of them. Are you going guac or queso?
Ah, man. I got dairy allergy, just found out not too long ago. I'm going guac, but man, I love me some good queso.
He might endure the pain, but if he's looking to stay pain-free, he's going guac. I love it. I love it. Waffles or pancakes? What are you getting more of these days?
Pancakes. I have not had too many waffles in my lifetime.
All right. All right. Coffee or tea with those pancakes?
Coffee.
All right. Dogs or cats? What do you
Dogs. Dogs. I know I'm gonna piss off some of our fans, but dogs are better.
All right, dogs are better. I like it. Ninja or a pirate? What do you more like?
That I'm more like?
Yeah.
Probably a pirate. I don't know, man. Like my bones creak and pop, and I'm always a little too drunk, so
I like it. I like it. Gatorade or Powerade? What are you drinking them after a show? Getting fueled.
can I body armor? Body armor.
Body armor, third option. I like it. All
Yeah.
right. All right. We support that. We are not sponsored by Gatorade nor Powerade, so we do not care. Yeah, I like that. That's a
Yeah.
good answer. Toast or bagels? What do you eat more of?
Toast.
Okay. All right. Chips or pretzels?
Ooh, pretzels.
I like that. I like it. That includes soft pretzels. People don't understand that.
Yes, soft pretzels are awesome.
Yeah. Fries or tots?
Depends on the place. Oh, it depends on the place. Yeah, oh God, I know more fry places than more hot exclusive places. So,
Okay. Fries.
fries. I go
He's
fries.
hitting fries. All right. TV show or movie? When you have a long day, come home, you're ready to unwind a little bit. What are you watching?
Ooh, very, very subjective. I don't know. I don't know. I'll go with the movie. Go with the movie.
Okay. All right. Are aliens real?
100%.
Okay. Bigfoot, is that real?
Yeah. I could not. I mean, have I seen him and myself in the same room? No. But I've also seen my dad walk around naked before, and I think I saw him, so.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Love at first sight. Is that real?
Yes.
All right. All right. Who is a couple of bands that we might not know that we ought to check out, and that we're going to tell them, hey, Brett from Winn and May told us to check you out.
I'm okay. So I'm gonna go with Modern Love. They're really awesome. I'm gonna go with Milk with a period. There's multiple milks out there, but the Milk with a period is a really good one. God, who else? Who else? Joan. They're really, really awesome. And then Sleepwalking Animals. Those are some bands I think people should really check out.
All
You know,
right, so I
all
got
within
my.
under a million listeners too. So like, hey, you're gonna definitely find some bands before they blow up.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that. Keeping it on the Hey, they're still up and coming. They're still in that phase. So Modern Love, Milk with the period.
Yes.
Joan, is that JOAN?
Yes.
All right. And then Sleepwalking
Animals.
Animals. All right. I love it. I love it. Well, you've conquered Pete Peterson's party pack of questions. Brett, we appreciate you hopping in here and spending some time with us here at the IndieB&B. Looking forward to getting the Atlanta dates so we can come see you live and in person if they are coming to a town near you. Based on what he just told me, I would have bought my ticket already. So I think it's a no-brainer to go check out their show. Gonna have a lot of laughs, some awesome music, and it's just overall an awesome experience. So, Brett, we appreciate you stopping in here. And anything else that you want to plug in for the folks out there?
Yeah, we're currently almost done with the mix of our third single called Silhouette. It's going to be a modern rock song. I don't know. Again, genres, there's too many names. But people have really been vibing with that one on stage. Again, there's a lot of unreleased music that we have. And then lastly, Lying About Silly Things is the title of our debut EP that's coming out at the end of May.
Well, it's appropriate as the band is when in May, the EP comes out in May, and
Exactly. How about it?
we're excited about Lying About Silly Things. We'll be following along on the old streaming platforms, and we appreciate you guys and giving the time to us tonight. So, thank you so much, Brett.
Thank you.
Awesome.